I'm Dr. Leif Tapanilla from the Idaho Museum of Natural History, and I'm here with Peter Pruitt from Zoo Idaho, and this is The Nature of Idaho. Coming to you from the 1B, Bannock County that is, we're talking all about Idaho, its wild places and wild faces, the natural setting that makes Idaho an incredible place to live and be proud of. Hey, our guests today are Tor Lynn and Dennis Gibbons. They are president and vice president for the Port Neff Valley Tennis Association. Peter, we're talking about tennis in Idaho. Have you ever played tennis?
Yeah, long time ago and then a few years back.
You remember how it works?
Not good.
Little yellow ball.
Oh, yeah.
Racket, yeah. Strings, you hit it. You hit it in the lines.
Yeah, I tried anyway.
You tried? Okay.
Yeah. Well, like I say, it didn't work very well for me.
I've been playing for years, and it doesn't work well for me often.
Okay.
So you're
okay.
Not alone.
Good.
But it's so much fun. We're going to get into tennis and how you can get involved here in Idaho. But before we do, Peter, I know you got Nature in the News.
Yeah, Leif, I was going to do a Nature in the News about the masked shrew found in North Carolina, but...
Masked shrew?
The masked shrew.
That sounds like a superhero.
Yeah, the Avenger. But I found out that the shrew does something that's even cooler, and it's called the Donnell's Phenomenon.
The shrew does the Donnell's phenomenon. Here we go.
Yes, so there are some small mammals in the Northern Hemisphere that remain active year-round. They don't go into hibernation.
Oh, sure.
And the problem with that is because they're small, the metabolic rate is already high, astronomical.
Right.
And if they don't go in the hibernate, they don't eat enough food. They need to basically double their weight in food intake twice a day or they starve. And in the wintertime, what they do instead is they actually reduce their body size, specifically their brain size.
What?
Because the brain takes a tremendous amount of energy to work.
Okay, so a shrew is not a very big animal.
No, a shrew is not a very big animal, not one bit. But during the fall, they start to reduce their brain size by 21%.
You're kidding me. A fifth of their brain.
A fifth of their brain goes away. And then they also kind of start reducing their body mass as well.
Okay.
And once you reduce your brain size, you don't need as much energy.
Right, because it's metabolically
it's
costly
metabolic,
to have a brain.
Yeah, yeah.
That seems like it's going to cause some trouble.
It does. And you're just like, wow, this is why. So when the spring happens again, they'll actually grow the brain back. But they only grow their brain back to 10% of what it was the year before.
Okay, so I see a math problem here.
Yes,
right?
And there's some cognitive issues when you lose 21% of your brain mass and only grow 10% back.
Sure.
But they'll gain over 81% of their body mass back.
I don't know if you know how long they live. How
oh,
years?
Yeah, yeah. If they live to 2 years, they're doing fantastic.
Okay, so it's not like they're long-lived. They got to go through a lot of these seasons.
Yeah, once they hit their second spring, they're on Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, and all that other good stuff. So
does this happen to humans, too?
No.
Because I've noticed.
Well, I hope not, but who knows?
It would be a good excuse. It's the fall. My brain is only
20%. I'm going to reduce my brain capacity down. Yeah, one-fifth of my brain capacity. That would lead me basically, you use 10% of your brain. And
oh, yeah, right. Yeah. So you don't need maybe a fifth of it
anymore.
No,
I'd be down to one-tenth of my brain being used if I lost that amount.
That's great. Well, thanks, Peter. Before we get into it, our trivia question for today is all about tennis. If you play tennis, how many extra years do you add to your life? You'll be impressed and amazed. You'll start playing tennis right away.
Especially if you're a master shrew.
You'll need all the time you can get.
Right.
When we come back from the break, Tor Lynn and Dennis Gibbons from the Port Neff Valley Tennis Association will join us. So please stay tuned.
Did you miss the latest edition of The Nature of Idaho or ISU's Research, Innovation, and Creativity Insights? Sometimes it's tough to hear your favorite KISU shows live, but you can listen to them on demand with our free KISU mobile app for your Apple or Android device. Search your app store for KISU to get started.
Hey, welcome back from the break. Our guests today are Tora Lynn and Dennis Gibbons. They are president and vice president of our very own Port Neuf Valley Tennis Association here in Pocatello. First off, welcome to the Nature of Idaho.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to Tora first. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so being a Pocatello resident for the past 16, 17 years, involved in tennis 12 years ago, didn't grow up here from Thailand, and we don't really play tennis in Thailand. We did not have, you know, a lot of tennis court. It's not very accessible, but I did grow up playing a racket sport, badminton, ping pong. That's what we play in Asia, right? You see, that's in Olympics. We're so good at that. not so good in tennis, but the ping pong and badminton, we're pretty good. Anyway, so after I live here, moved to the second house, which is on the Bannock Highway, a mile away from Juniper Hill Country Club, where the indoor tennis facility is. I ran into a friend who is a tennis player. I did not know anything about tennis, but she talked about tennis constantly throughout the whole dinner, USTA rating, all this stuff, which I had no idea what she was talking about. She said, where do you live? Like on the Bannock Highway. She said, go down to the Juniper Hill Country Club and there's some tennis there and you will have a lot of fun. And one day I decided to do just that and went down there. Dennis happened to be there teaching lesson. I believe it's like beginner levels, ladies, so perfect. And he saw me through the window and he waved and said like, hey, what are you doing? And I'm like, just checking things out. And then went downstairs. He said, oh, you have running shoes on. Grab the tennis racket. Hop on the court. And I did just that. And that was day one of my tennis. And I was playing almost every day.
That's awesome.
After that. And I was just addicted. Addicted to tennis. And start playing the league tennis, which we can go talk about USTA league in a little bit. Start with the beginner level, 2.5. Going up to 3.0, 3.5, 4.0 year after year. And the last 3 years, I play what we call 4.5, which is a pretty high level tennis player. And just involved with tennis a lot, meet a lot of friends, captain a lot of teams. So 5 years ago, took a job with Idaho Tennis Association as an area league coordinator. So I manage all the leagues in Pocatello. And also do a junior team coordinator. So I ran all the junior tennis tournament in Pocatello as well. And nowadays, well, I right now no longer work for Idaho Tennis because they do some restructuring with the position. So now instead of doing that, still involved with tennis and took on the president title, I guess, of the PVTA. And still going to run a lot of tournament and promote tennis in the community, do some coaching, junior and adults in summer at the public court, and also in winter at ISU inside the Reed Gym. That's a lot of tennis. What else?
So you met Dennis over at Juniper Hills. Maybe I'll introduce Dennis that way. Yep. Tell us a little about yourself.
Well, I do remember when Tora was up there in the window, sort of looking down, and it was beginning, ladies. It was probably a Monday night. And she said, I invited her down and she had shoes on and plugged her in. And she's been doing really well. She's been doing a great job here with our local promotion of local tennis. And she's a great player. She's a great ambassador for the sport here locally. And I appreciate all of her efforts that she's made over the last 12 years.
Excellent.
So it means you don't have to grow up playing tennis to be good at it. You have to play ping pong or badminton as well, right?
But you don't have to. There's a lot of players that jump into tennis, but they've been playing any other sport all their life. Soccer, volleyballs, racquetballs. I mean, as long as you're an athlete, you can hit the ball, good hand-eye coordination, you can play tennis.
I think I've seen a lot of people, you know, I'm in the tennis association as well here locally, and I rejoined as an adult. I played all the racket sports when I was a kid and growing up. And what makes tennis really great as you get older is there's a lot of like-minded people that want to play it. It is a lifelong sport. You can get out there and play. And with organizations like the one that you guys are in, PVTA, and you mentioned Idaho Tennis Association, And at the national level, the USTA, there's an organization, there's a structure to help get people together so that you can play in more organized fashion. And that's been just great. And it becomes a social sport, not just a solo sport, a solo endeavor.
That's exactly right. And I know growing up in Boise, I'd played football, basketball, baseball back in the 60s. And then I remember in junior high, 8th and 9th grade, we had a coach there, and I finally got a chance to, you know, pick up a tennis racket, and that's how I got started. And so the middle school thing was huge in my life in Boise. And right now, Tor and several other coaches have put together middle school tennis. And so it's going to be a great way to get those kids that have never been exposed to it playing at an early age. So when they get to high school, they'll have an idea if they want to pursue it or not.
And we do have high school teams. Is it in individual high schools, or is it kind of together where all three high schools work with each other?
Right now, Highland is a 6A school. Pokie and Century, we're both 5A. And so at state, we'll play against Pokie and whoever they qualify locally for state. Obviously, Highland's at a different level at the 6A. But we do play them locally. The Gate City Invitational, and Highland did very, very well. They beat our boys' doubles team in the finals, which it was a tough pill for me to swallow since I'd been coaching these kids since Liam was about 1.5 when he started and Daniel was like 3.
So let's talk about the Portneuf Valley Tennis Association and talk about ways for those of us who have never really played tennis or barely know what it's about, and those who are quite experienced, how do they get involved with the PVTA, and you know, what are the opportunities that you guys offer all of us here in the community?
Well, PVTA is basically a group of our local tennis players that kind of get together and form an organization and try to promote the sport for everyone. Because when we have a new player come in, they try to reach out to high school coaches, reach out to me if they know me, or reach out to, you know, any coaches they run into at the park. But we feel like if we set up, you know, a nonprofit organization, and that can provide all the resources and answer all the questions that people have for kids or for adults, that would be, you know, a great thing to do. So we formed this the end of 2023. We formed this organization, have it all registered and everything. Right now, we currently have 15 board members that are practically very active. We meet every 3 months and go over things that we would like to do and things we want to accomplish for the year to promote the sport. We put together a website so that anybody can go on the website and it have information about coaches in town, any tournaments adult and junior can play in, location of all the courts, you know, where you can find the courts to play. And, you know, we have photo gallery of, you know, all the things happening in town in the past and upcoming. So that would be the place to go to. We have social media. If you have like a Facebook account, it's Pocatello Shop Big Tennis Facebook page or Tennis Pocatello Instagram. We have that as well. And it's a small town. When people start to know someone in the community, then, you know, it's become a very personal level. You know, we exchange phone number, and then we said, you know, you call this person, you can help her with, you know, the coaches, the lesson, or, you know, that kind of thing. It's, believe it or not, we have about 300, 400 active tennis players.
300 or 400 active in
active
just Noir Valley.
Tennis player in the Portneuf Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's adult only. And we have at least 100, almost 150 junior players that constantly play year round.
Yeah, that's an impressive number.
That is a good number, yeah.
For a town our size.
Mm-hmm.
Is that typical across Idaho? Dennis, do you have a feel for that?
Well, I know like Pocatello and Idaho Falls, we've been very, very active over the, you know, the last 40 years since I've been here, or 50 years now. But Boise is by far the hub. I mean, they have nicer weather, and so they can almost play year-round outside. And the numbers of people there in the Boise, Meridian, Nampa, Caldwell area are much greater. But for a town this size, we have a very, very active tennis community here. And a lot of it has gone to Tor over the last, when she was our area coordinator. I would get all these beginning ladies and kids and stuff like that out at the country club, and I would just give them Tor's phone number, and she was very good at following up and getting them plugged into the system. So she's had a huge impact on our local tennis.
We worked together pretty well back then, because when a lot of people reach out to me that want to play league, but they never play tennis and they want lessons. So guess what? I send them to Dennis and said, go take a lesson with Dennis and come back and see me in a month. And then I'll find you a spot on the team.
One of the great things about tennis, I certainly found this as an adult returning to the sport at an older age, is because it's organized, and we can talk about leagues and how they operate, there's a ranking system that exists. Mm-hmm. And so when you start playing, you might not be particularly good. There's a rank for you. And so you're playing with other people, and we have a lot of people in our community that play at these various ranks. You can play with somebody that's similar to your skill level, and that's really important. As you get better and you move up the ranks, there's new levels to strive for and to be challenged for.
That's right. So locally, we start out at the 2.5 level, and that's pretty much entry. At some of the larger towns or cities, they do have 2.0 levels to start with. But here at Pocatello, entry level is 2.5. And then, you know, depending on how your results go for that first season, your scores, your match wins and losses, you get a computer rating for the next year. And so you go up and up and up. And then as you move forward up at the very top, there are fewer players. So we don't have as many teams. But down at the entry level and the next couple levels, that's the majority of the players here in Pocatello. The really cool thing is we've had beginning people come into our sport over the last 12 years or 20 years or 40 years, which is very good, because as tennis players age up, we lose them. Like once they become 60 and over, it's not as, I don't know if it's as competitive, but we lose numbers. They go on to pickleball. Pickleball is a great sport now for aging tennis players, because they don't have to cover as much court, and it's hand-eye and it's social. And so pickleball has helped a lot of tennis players stay on the court.
That's great. Yeah,
that's true.
So I'm thinking of a parent who has young kids, and they're thinking, you know, there are all sorts of sports that the youngsters can get into. How might you get started with your youngins? You don't know if they're going to like the sport. You don't know if they're going to be any good or want to do it. Where do they start?
So for teaching junior, you use different kind of balls too. You know, they have the red balls, the orange, the green dot, and the yellow ball.
They're a little flatter. They don't bounce as
low compression.
They don't bow as high as a regular yellow tennis ball.
Right.
And when you teach the kid, you want to use the right size of the tennis ball to, you know, work on their technique, their skill. So, yeah, if you go to the coach, you know, the coach will know, like, how old are you, you know, and then we'll give you the right lesson and the right equipment and tennis balls.
And the right length of racket.
And the right tennis racket. Yeah, those are important if you want the kid to learn, you know.
Can you keep it pretty cheap?
Yeah, those red, orange, green dot ball last forever.
And rackets, are they?
Racket, you know, it doesn't have to be fancy, right? Because the kid grow every year. The next year they go another inch or two. You want to update the racket to another inch or two longer. So you don't want to spend $200 on the racket. When you become a full grown adult and your racket doesn't change, then yeah, you want to spend the money because you're going to use it forever. But the kid racket, $20, $30.
And once you start buying the smaller rackets, they can repurpose them for other kids growing up in the family,
or
give
them down.
They pass them down or give them to other kids at that level. So it's just not $20 and it's gone. It continues on for a long, long time.
Yep. We pass them down to other kids. If you don't have the sibling, they're always kids that are looking for racket to use, and, you know, don't give it away. Just give it to the coach or give it to PVTA, and then we redistribute them.
Okay. And so I have an 8-year-old. I don't. The youngest is 21. So I have an 8-year-old, and you guys need to sell them into playing tennis. So how are you going to convince that 8-year-old to play tennis?
Well, first of all, you get him in a clinic with, you know, half a dozen other kids their age and skill level. And the number one thing when they're first starting out is you have to make it fun for them. They have to make it fun. They have to get exercise, and they need to learn something each time they go to the courts. And so that's the way I was mentored by my mentor, Peter Burwash from Toronto, Ontario, Canada,
who is a
world-renowned tennis coach. And anyway, he always stressed those three things.
Yep. Dennis told me that about a year ago when he started teaching the little junior, that they have to learn something and they have to have fun.
And fun. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And it is fun.
And exercise.
And exercise.
Yeah. And as a parent, if the child's not having fun, there's no reason to push them into tennis. Mm-hmm. They might come back in a year or two or four and say, hey, I want to try that again. So, you know, we've got to let the parents understand, mm-hmm. too, that make sure the kid's having fun.
Okay. And so here's something. I started teaching maybe 52 years ago. I think I was 18. That's right. I was 18 and started teaching and going to college and all that stuff. But I've taught thousands and thousands of kids. And out of that, I've only asked two kids not to come back. And they were bad apples.
Yeah.
So most of the kids, I mean, all the kids that come to tennis are good kids. And they'll have fun.
Good. Mm-hmm.
Well, and so then once they're youngsters and they're maybe improving their skills, they get a little more committed, they get into high school. And even before, you've started middle school. So there's middle school opportunities to get really hooked into playing more competitive style tennis.
Dennis mentioned earlier, this year we just started a middle school tennis program, and the organization that started is called Idaho Youth Tennis. And they brought this to Eastern Idaho for the very first time this year. They were doing this in the Southern Utah in the past 8 years, and they were very successful.
Yeah.
So they introduced it into Eastern Idaho. And as soon as I heard about it, I called them up and like, hey, how can Pocatello get involved and be a part of this league? And, you know, they told me this is what you have to do. We did it within a week. We got on it. We have two teams from Pocatello. 1 and 2, and we have about 19, 20 kids. So we have about 39 kids playing right now.
Cool.
It's a 6-week season, and the kids are so excited. Practice twice a week, match every Saturday, tournament at the end of the season, which is the 3rd week of May. We have team uniform, we have the team mascot. They're all excited, the parent excited, because, you know, the kid been playing, but they never really have an opportunity to play like a match, tournament play. And they don't know what the high school tennis is all about. So now we basically replicate how the high school is playing. Do you have varsity players, JV players? So when high school season comes, they kind of have an idea.
And so now there's a pipeline too, right, for the high schools.
And the high school coach are all excited because now they know that there are the young kid coming up that they already know how to play tennis and how it works in high school.
This is going to give kids that have not have the opportunity to take lessons since they're 6 years old or something like that. Those kids, by the time they get to high school, are earmarked by the coaches. They know they're solid players when they walk in as freshmen. And these other kids are kids maybe that aren't the football players or basketball players, and they could be, but they might be kids that are looking for something that they can continue with. And the structured practices and having competitive matches are extremely important for them to prepare them for the next level, high school level.
Absolutely. And again, it's providing organization and structure, right? And that steps up as our people age up, right? And all the way through the youth ages. And then I know plenty of former high school students that go on, maybe they're in college, and they start playing adult leagues mm-hmm. at that point. And so there's this mm-hmm. continuity all the way through the ages, all the way into your 60s plus, playing the sport. It's really cool.
And it's like a family too. It's a sport that you can play with your kid, your grandkid, right? It's a lifetime sport. And when you start to introduce your kid to play tennis, so I have so many families that I taught the kids last year. Now the mom and the dad are taking tennis lessons because they want to play with their kid. The kid want to go out and play, you know, on the Saturday, Sunday when there's no practice, and they ask the mom and the dad to go out and play with them. So now the mom like, can I take a lesson because I want to be able to hit with my kid? So it's become a family activity that they can do together when they go on vacation. Yep. I do this all the time. We all bring tennis racket and we find the court that we can play, right? Yep. And you can mm-hmm. go anywhere. And find people to play with. I have my son, he played when he was 5 years old because I started playing tennis a year or two before that, and he wanted to play tennis. Now he's 16 and he played for Century High School. He's a number one single player for the team because he'd been playing with us all along. My husband played because I recruited him because we need more players for my team. We play, they call a mixed league, which is, you know, I have a guy and a gal on the team, and all the girls need, you know, men. So we all recruit the husband. So now they all jump on the team, and now the whole family playing tennis. And, you know, it's become a fun family activity.
Sounds like a cult, if you ask me.
We recruit them voluntarily.
The tennis families are huge.
Yeah.
And like Tori was saying, that when I first moved to Pocatello, there were a half a dozen tennis families here where the parents played, the kids played, and they are all, you know, future state champs and stuff like that. But 2 weeks ago, I was out at Century High when Tor and her son Tyden were doing their practice for their kids, and they were running drills. The kids are laughing and happy and having fun, and all the parents were out there lined up watching it. And I know several of the parents did not play tennis, but I could see their enthusiasm for their kids is going to transfer over, and they will get involved. So the tennis family things is a huge deal.
Yeah.
No, and I think that's, kidding aside, that's awesome. So
it really is.
You probably wanted to walk over and give the parents rackets, didn't you?
Oh, I'm sure he talked to all of them.
You know what? I probably had them in. They didn't have enough balls. And so Tor and Tyden had their hands full with the kids. But yeah, all those kids, the parents, that's something we could do.
There
you
we
know
go.
What? When the parents come, then we could do a parent thing while the kids are doing that.
Then just bring a few rackets. You can have a few court in the back.
There you go.
Working with the parents.
All right. Here
we
go. Not a bad idea.
So before Leaf, we get to the trivia question.
Sure, yeah.
I have to ask you this question. How did we get love, meaning zero, in tennis?
I think it came from a French term, love being French, and that initially tennis was an indoor sport. The first indoor court in the world is in Paris. And last summer, while we were there for the French Open, one of my friends that was guiding us and taking us through, Bruce, he was living in Croatia. He was staying at this place, and we went into his hotel.
Really?
The first indoor thing, the foyer of the hotel was the first indoor court. It was wild.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, so I've always heard that it's l'œuf, which is the French word for the egg, and zero looks like an egg, right? So that's the story. I don't know if it's true.
No, that's what I've always
You've heard that
told.
Too.
Okay. I mean, 30 love sounds better than 30 egg.
Well, or telling your opponent that you've got zero.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of nasty, so we've put it in positive terms. It's just love. Right? So this is Nature of Idaho, and a big part of our show is trying to get people excited about getting outside and doing things. And tennis is definitely one of those sports, at least once it gets warm, and we're certainly into the warm months now, where you can get outside, and it's a good excuse to get outside and have fun, right? Let's just speak for a second about, it's a healthy sport. I think it's often kind of referred to as the healthiest sport. What did you say,
Tor,
before?
It's the world's healthiest sport.
It's the world's healthiest sport.
Yeah. Disclaimer. But we're not going to tell them the answer.
Well,
I'm going to
ask you this question, and then you can maybe elaborate on it. But so our question to start the day was, if you play tennis, how many extra years do you add to your life? Go ahead.
Okay, so the answer that you can find on the USTA.com website is that the average is additional 9.7 years.
9.7 years of extra life if you're a tennis player.
That's right.
Right.
That's
on.
Pretty good.
As compared to a couch potato.
Yes, right.
Okay. You know, like if you're a cyclist or a skier or a runner and stuff like that, they live additional years, but tennis is the longest longevity.
I mean, it's good, obviously, to be outside and working out and, you know, using your body and exercise. But what else does tennis bring in addition to that?
Well, tennis is very, very social. And once you start playing, you develop friends. And when you go and play, you're always talking with your opponents and stuff like that. And everybody knows each other. And it's just a big friendship, circle of friends that you're always conversing with. And so that's one of the things that makes it so healthy.
It brings joy to your life,
Lee. It brings joy to
a lot of joy. And sometimes tears.
And tears.
Tears.
Frustration.
I always told the ladies out of the country club, when they lose a tennis match, there are no tears in tennis. Occasionally you see them.
Well, we all know John McEnroe.
Tor just mentioned something. The little kids, sometimes they'd get a little fussy and they'd tears and stuff like that. And I'm going, there's no tears in tennis, and this isn't dance.
Awesome. We really want to thank Tor and Dennis for joining us today. And for everyone who lives in the Portneuf Valley, if you want to learn more about PVTA, please go to pvtennis.org.
The Nature of Idaho receives support from listener contributions to KISU-FM. Shows are produced at KISU Studios in Pocatello at Idaho State University, with editing and production by Mackenzie Young. Music is by Idaho's very own Sons of Bannock. Audio of this and all past episodes of The Nature of Idaho can be found at KISU.org, from Spotify or other select podcast services, or from KISU's mobile app. Send your thoughts and suggestions to noid-kisu@isu.edu.